Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, the new talk. This is podcast 354, heading back from California to Minnesota. And if I was to tell the truth, truth be told, I'm none too happy about having to turn the mobile podcast command unit 8 to the east. This has been quite an adventure for me in California. Obviously, Texas and New Mexico and Arizona was great. California is amazing. Every time I come out west, the west is amazing, whether you're talking about California or Texas or Arizona or any of these other places. And of course, I have Nevada and Wyoming in the next day or two to talk about in the podcast. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm struggling with whether to do an update or to spoil a travel podcast, which is what this kind of is, a road trip podcast. With discussions of politics, you know, I guess what I'll just say one thing, and then I'm going to talk about my feelings right now, because that's really important. I find it fascinating that Hillary Clinton is copying me. I told my son that, and he said that's the most narcissistic thing I've ever heard. But apparently, my instinct to get out on the road and actually see America and talk to people and deal with people turned out to be the right instinct. I don't know how you could ever be wrong with that instinct, because it's great. But I'm going to talk about that in podcast 354. So, as you know, I talk a lot about manufacturing technology on the Bob Davis Podcast. So let's talk about manufacturing and Bockland R&D a little bit. One of the things we were talking about at Sonny's house over the weekend was the varying topics of the Bob Davis Podcast, whether it's the road trip or technology. I find more and more, and I'm going to talk about this in this podcast, that I'm not going to say it's hard for me to talk about politics, because I love politics. It's just, it is a higher vibration to talk about the things that I'm seeing on the road trip or to talk about technology. So I am jonesing for a John Bockland fix, because one of the things that I do when I'm back in town, and I've been away now for a couple of weeks, John and I go out and have these crazy conversations about business and technology and manufacturing, and I miss that. So that's one of the good things about coming back to Minnesota. So that'll be exciting. The first thing I'm going to do is call John Bockland up and find out what's going on in the manufacturing world. But there's been lots of developments at Bockland so far in the new year. First of all, if you're in the manufacturing business or you're interested in what Bockland does, go to Bockland.com, B-A-K-L-U-N-D.com, because it's updated. There's an all-new Bockland.com to show you what they can do. Lots of innovations and lots of details on what they do and how they do it. John just finished a webinar on March 31st in which he talked about monetizing 3D printing for production planning and tooling. He's one of the few small businesses that is successfully monetizing 3D printing. And then the website also has a link to Tara Bockland's Healthy Life blog, which gives you an idea of the company, because and we talk a lot about values with Bockland R&D. Living healthy for all of Bockland's employees is central to the values of the company, and we've discussed those in earlier podcasts. Here's the thing, and this is the advertising portion of the Bockland soliloquy here. Remember, wicked fast turnaround times, innovative solutions like this website that shows you so many different things about what Bockland does and is really instructional about the company and about the processes that they're involved with. Real client service. I've often told the story about how one Friday we were all having a late lunch, and they were talking about getting a part to a client that was across town, and John was like, "Well, I'll take it," and they were all fighting over who was going to take the part to the client late on a Friday, and the guy was blown away that they showed up at the door with the part that they needed, the tool that they needed for that weekend's production. But they were like, you know, maybe you guys need this to get what you got to get done this weekend. It's stuff like that that they'll drive across town when they don't have to deliver a part, because that's what it's all about with client service. Real resources about Bockland at Bockland.com. If you go there, it's Bockland.com, and contact Joe Dorn or Andy Bleck at Bockland.com and ask what they can do for you. Find out what these values can do for your company. Energy, wisdom, knowledge, and imagination. Find out what that can do for your company today at Bockland.com, B-A-K-L-U-N-D.com. Yeah, it's late at night. I am in a Denny's parking lot, and it's late at night in Minnesota, and it's definitely late at night in California. So it's about midnight. I'm in a Denny's parking lot. I like to go to Denny's and steal their, well, I guess I shouldn't say that I'm stealing their internet, because I am going to go in there in a minute. But I'm not a fan of Denny's. I don't like their food. And I have a boatload of beef jerky. I've been collecting beef jerky from all these different towns I've been going to in California. I got a box of beef jerky over there and a bunch of nuts and a fresh coffee maker. So maybe I'll just get back on the road after I finish this podcast. I don't know. Of course, you can hear the thrum of the engine because the podcast mobile unit is fired up. I'm experimenting with this because when I cover primary races in cold places next fall, I'm going to have to run this unit this way because I'm going to need the heat. So that is why I'm doing that. And of course, I'm in this parking lot in the middle of the night, and people are right walking by and riding their bikes by and looking and seeing what's going on here and what I'm doing. So that's kind of interesting. But I'm in Yuba City or Marysville, California, just over the mountains from Nevada, where I'm going to be heading tomorrow. And I don't want to go over those mountains tonight, so I'm kind of holding up. So it's been quite a trip from Los Angeles up the Pacific Coast Highway to Napa. If you're into road tripping, that is the one trip that you have to make. It never gets old. I've probably made that trip at least four times, and every time it's just breathtaking. The Pacific Coast Highway, and by the way, you can take the PCH all the way up to I think you can take it to south of Seattle, where it finally kind of ends. I didn't look at the map, but I remember I actually picked it up south of Seattle and drove down it one time, and that was a great trip, too. So, you know, when you're traveling, it just gets so dreamy crazy that this is what I did today. First of all, some of these places are amazing. You know, obviously, I had a lot of fun with Sunny and her husband, Mark. Great people. And I think it was, you know, I just really needed to hang out with some people who like to talk, and we talked our legs off. People came over for dinner, and we made dinner, and we talked and talked and talked, and it was great. And Napa is another one of these picturesque, you know, towns. And then I didn't realize this. Mark was like, well, then you got to go up to Calistoga, because we were talking about the Donner Party. And he said, you have got to go to Calistoga, because Calistoga is where they ended up, and a lot of them settled in Calistoga. So I drove up to Calistoga today. So I'm exhausted. You know, for one thing, I didn't sleep very good last night just because, you know, I was getting ready to go. I'm very excited. And the second thing is, I did Bikram yoga in Napa. And so I'm driving through, was actually just north of Calistoga, and I can't remember, is it Lake View or Lake something was the name of the town. And I'm driving along, and I see this crazy cartoon character on this building, and it's a Bikram yoga studio in the middle of nowhere. And so I, you know, like pulled off the road, drove in there, and I was like, I gotta do yoga here because it's so crazy. This is a crazy place. They had outdoor showers. Outdoor unisex showers, basically. I mean, there were stalls, but I'm taking a shower, and the teacher, Corinne, Corinne, was in the stall next to me, and I was just thinking to myself, I wonder what it's like in the winter taking a shower here. And she just said out loud, you know, it does snow here in the winter, and we do take showers out here in the winter. But so I've done Bikram yoga twice today. So I'm exhausted, I'm giddy, and I have mixed feelings about heading back. I really love being out here. I just love it. Somebody put on Twitter, and it irritated the hell out of me, that are you living in this truck? And you know, it's exhausting. I don't think I could live in the truck. It's really not set up for that. It's not an RV. It's set up to record. It's set up for business, basically. And it's just funny because I thought that I was so irritated by that question last night, and today I'm laughing about it. But I just enjoy this so much. It's just being on the road, because I'm not staying in hotels. I stayed at Mark and Sonny's, and then I stayed with my friend Andy in Scottsdale, and I stayed in Los Angeles. But you know, when I'm running, I'm sleeping in the truck. And you know, I just took a nap, and I'm kind of owly. I got up, and I'm a little owly tonight. But the reason for doing this podcast was There's an old guy that runs the museum in Calistoga, and he is supposedly an authority on the Donner Party. And I couldn't get any much out of him about the Donner Party, but I taped an interview with him anyway. But Calistoga is an interesting place. It's apparently a combination of the words California and Saratoga, because the idea was it was going to be Saratoga on the Pacific. Calistoga was created in the 1880s as a resort. People from San Francisco came up to Calistoga on the train for summer because it's really warm in this valley. It was beautiful today, and you notice a climate difference just from Napa. Like when you're in this town of Napa, as you move down to the end, as they call it, the hot end of the valley, the warm and dry end of the Napa Valley, is Calistoga. But people could come from San Francisco and rent cottages. Now, the cottages didn't have any water or heat, running water or heat or kitchens, but what they did was they built hotels and then a bathhouse and a dining hall. So this was essentially, Calistoga was essentially a planned community in the 1880s, and the museum in the town has this diorama of the town, and it's really interesting. I took pictures inside the I got the camera sort of down inside the diorama, I guess that's what you call it, to take pictures of it. And the most famous citizen of Calistoga dating back to that time is Robert Louis Stevenson, who later moved to American Samoa from Calistoga, where he passed away. But Calistoga is also the home to some of the survivors of the famous Donner Party group, both the group that didn't take the shortcut and didn't have to eat each other, and the party that came through the Sierra Nevadas and got trapped in the snow. Now, when I was at Sonny's house, we had a lot of conversation. We were joking about the Donner Party and talking about the Donner Party, and we ended up talking about this for a couple of hours last night, actually, at Sonny's house, which is why Mark said, you have to go visit this museum. So I decided, okay, fine, this is what I did all day. I mean, just so you know, I mean, Calistoga is about 46 minutes from Napa, and where I am now is probably a couple of hours northeast of Calistoga. So I haven't been working too hard in terms of, getting a lot of miles underneath my belt today. I've been kind of piddling around all day, which is probably another reason I'm not in the greatest of moods right now. But I want to talk about the Donner Party a little bit. Of course, the Donner Party was part of a much larger group of people coming west in the fateful year of 1866. And that year was one of the worst winters in the Sierra Nevadas ever. Lots and lots and lots of snow. And it's an interesting story, because they put their faith in an individual, and I can't, for the life of me, can't remember his name right now, and I'm not going to go into the Denny's and use their internet to find it. But anyway, this guy led them west, but he knew nothing of the crossing of these mountains. He had done some things out west, but there were people that wanted to kill him because he really didn't know what he was talking about. He talked about this route through the Sierra Nevadas that would save them 400 miles. And the party split because one group decided to take the long route because it was the safest, and this group, the Donner Party, decided to take the shortcut, which actually didn't exist. And they ended up having to hack. First of all, they got delayed coming across the desert. Then they had to hack their way through the brush because there was no trail across the Sierra Nevadas. Now, I just came through just a small part of these mountains heading up to the Sierra Nevadas, and let me tell you, that's probably another reason I'm tired tonight, because it was really hairy. The PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, with an 8,500-pound ambulance, is a little hairy, making those hairpin curves. But nobody is going fast because they're looking at the vistas. This road that came out of Calistoga is 29, I think, is really it was a little scary. I mean, I couldn't even, at one point I dropped my coffee. So here I am driving through the mountains, coffee all over my pants. Then I dropped my phone and I could not even put on my seatbelt because I hadn't put my seatbelt on before I went up into these hills. It was so crazy. It was pretty hairy coming down those hills. So I can't imagine having to do the Sierra Nevadas, hacking your way through, and this delayed them. And I got up there in late fall. And, you know, at some point I read a book, and in one of the books I read about the Donner Party, there was a whole discussion about that they dallied. They dallied around. They didn't get on it and get down from those mountains, but they didn't know. They couldn't possibly have known that the worst winter in hundreds of years was coming. And I think it was October, November, they hung around for a while to rest and sort of, you know, rest the horses and everything. And in December it started to snow, and then they were trapped. And they had nothing to eat. They ran through their food, and it must have been a horrible experience for them, I'm sure, because the people that died finally were eaten by the people that survived. And this is why the Donner Party is now sort of a meme for disastrous decision-making, right? But they were enamored. They were so enamored of this shortcut that would save them 400 miles that it became something emotionally bonding to them. And there was quite a disagreement in the party about taking this route. There was a woman who disagreed with them entirely, but women had no vote. And I mentioned the whole thing about hacking, you know, out the course and the cannibalism, which is really what makes the story really, really weird. The other thing that's weird about the story, and this is the thing we were talking about last night, is that this was a Democratic choice. They all voted to take this shortcut that didn't really exist, and it killed many of them, actually. And it's a fascinating story because, as I learned in my conversation with Sonny and Mark, the guy who put the idea in their head at first, which I just mentioned, who was with the other party, actually left them a note at one point to communicate to them not to take the route because I guess he had second thoughts about it. But they were so attached to the idea of saving 400 miles that they all voted to take it. Now, as I said, there were dissenters, but they were outvoted or they didn't have a vote. And as an editorial comment, I have to mention this. We hear a lot today about democracy. We hear these politicians talking about democracy, pure democracy, all the time. And, of course, the United States is a democratic republic, which is designed to avoid emotional mob-like decision-making. In other words, we have the kind of government that's a little bit more stable. The people really don't make every decision. We elect people that we then give our proxy to, and we rely on their judgments. Now, we're taught these days, I guess you could say, that democracy and the democratic process is always, you know, the way to go, and it always works. But sometimes it fails spectacularly, as it did with the Donner Party, which, if you stop and think about it, and of course the Challenger disaster has nothing to do with democracy, but if you stop and think about it, you know, at that time, all sorts of people were coming west, as you'll hear the gentleman at the museum talk about, and it's very interesting because with all these people coming west, you know, that was really the new technology of the time. That was the new thing to do in the 1860s and 70s and 80s when everybody came west was to, well, the early guys, they didn't have trains because the Union Pacific wasn't built and they couldn't ride the trains. And they had to do the whole Pioneer Wagon thing. That was new technology for them, you know, and it was untested and untried, and you could make deadly mistakes. And we see occasionally deadly mistakes are made sometimes, you know, because you make a series of mistakes. The first one is not a problem. The second one may not be a problem. But the third mistake creates a cascading of mistakes, which then causes the disaster. And I've talked about that before. But here is Al Jarrick, who runs the museum at Calistoga, having a brief conversation with me about the Donner Party, which he was not very... I don't want to say he didn't want to talk about it. It was hard for me to get him to talk about. He really liked talking about Robert Louis Stevenson, and he really liked talking about the guy that started Calistoga. He really didn't want to talk about the Donners, and I would imagine that everybody that goes in there and knows anything about history knows that that the Donner Party was there. But Calistoga is another one of these picture-perfect California towns if you get the chance to visit. And of course, it's wine country. And I just want to say one thing. He did do an extensive, you know, talk about wine country, but wine is relatively new as a business. It's the only crop in Napa Valley now. They used to grow walnuts and prunes. Wine, it's all about wine. And these wineries are amazing. You know, there's something about wineries that these farms look like. They look like movie sets. I mean, they're very clean and very controlled and very, you know, ship-shape, basically. So if you get the chance and you come up here and you drink wine, it's perfect because there's all kinds of bed and breakfasts and places to go. I'm sure if you send an email to Sunny, she can tell you about all the places to go. I don't drink wine, so it was pretty much useless to me. But here is the little talk with the guy at the museum in Calistoga.
Tell me about the Donner Party and all the people who settled that came from that, going that far back. What, I guess that was 1866, 65, 66.
I don't remember exactly when it was. But this is about the one of the families that they were just children, and they settled here. 13.
And 16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Graves family.
But you said, you told me when I came in that there, people think of the Donner Party as just the survivors, but you said that the larger group, there were two groups, the one that split off to try to save the time, the 400-mile shortcut.
Right.
They were the ones that got stuck in the mountain.
That's right. They just, their timing was bad. Otherwise, it would have been a shortcut if it wasn't for the early snow, you know,
right,
that trapped them. But the other ones were settled here, and Reason Tucker, his name was, and he's the Tucker Farm Center. You probably noticed on the road down there. That's down where he settled, and he was one of them that went back. But there were several that were here that went back to try and rescue them.
But they couldn't get up there.
Well, they couldn't. No, they. They got up there, but by the time they did, it was over. You know, it was too late. Relatives around here, in fact, one of the relatives, a direct relative of the Graves, was a docent here. She had a stroke about 10 years ago, so she retired. But she's still alive, and she's living in Napa. But I'm sure there are others, you know, from that party.
How do you think they did? Is this the cooking? Was this one of their cooking pots?
This is a cooking pot, yeah, from the Donner Party, and they cooked in this, and a lot of people wonder, well, what did they cook in it? You know, because there's so much contention about cannibalism and so forth. We have lots of books on that, you know, and you can read different opinions on it and so forth. But anyway, we think we have a pretty good story here about the remnants of the Donner Party was settled in this area.
Well, do you think they did well after that? I mean, this was ended up being a good move, even though some of them didn't make it coming out here to California?
Oh, sure it was, yeah. No, I don't think any of them regretted making the trip. They regretted making the detour, such as it was, you know. But I don't think there's anybody that regretted making the trip to California from wherever they were before. These people who came to California were a cross-section. You know, some of them were farmers. Some of them were merchants. They had little grocery stores or so forth. They were just a cross-section of the population at that time. And when they got here, they pursued whatever their occupation was previously. Not all of them came here to mine gold, you know.
Right. Or become, you know, land barons.
No. But the land at that time was very inexpensive by our standards.
Oh, sure.
But it was not by the standards of the time.
Right.
I gotta watch my door here.
Well, I've turned off the diesel. I feel like I'm in a submarine. You know, when they go deep and they go to battery power, So I'm on battery power right now, so I'm going to close out this podcast. Once again, thanking Al Derrick and thanking my hosts in Napa Valley, Sonny and Mark Lohman. It was fantastic, you guys, and I feel I just want to come back. And they told me, hey, you know, if you get tired and you want to come back, come on back tonight. But I'm not going to. But anyway, I am live from a Denny's parking lot in Marysville, California. Once again, I got to thank Bachland R&D for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Remember, wicked fast turnaround times, innovative solutions, real client service, as I've described many times, and real resources about Bachland at Bachland.com. Contact Joe Dorn or Andy Black at Bachland.com and ask what they can do for you. Find out what energy, wisdom, knowledge, and imagination can do for your company today at Bachland.com, Bachlund.com, Bachland.com. Definitely got to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. I was just talking to Ken Madden the other day at Mad K Studios, and he mentioned that they're going to be at a lot of these car shows this summer. I'll tell you more about that in the future. If you want to know more about Mad K Studios, click on the banner there at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast. It takes you right to their Facebook page. Remember, Mad K Studios, specializing in quality, original automotive artwork. Got to thank everybody for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. And thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I've been posting some pictures from the trip on Instagram, so you can check those out at bdavis7843 on Instagram. And of course, thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. You click on that yellow donation button, and it's a safe PayPal transaction, so that's all good. And I really, really, really appreciate, as I have thanked you guys profusely, really appreciate all the donations at the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks for listening to Podcast 354. Time for some coffee.